The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You did it again, Ursula! You did it again to me!
I know.
I'm just fuming right now.
I'm just telling the news as it happens.
I have been running around scrambling to put the show together. I had not heard this capital gains tax proposal.
Yeah, just got the story from Hannah Scott.
Okay. When are, I mean, and I know. By the way, we're coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio and streaming on Facebook Live. So now you've got me where I got to start ad-libbing again, going off script of everything I just prepared. I know that an income tax is the holy grail of Democrats in our state. They will do anything to try to get an income tax, even though it is unconstitutional. The Washington State Constitution does not allow an income tax. That's been tested time and time again by the courts. I think the voters have had a say seven times. It might be more than that. I don't know because I didn't know I was going to be talking about this, but the voters always say no to an income tax. Capital gains have been ruled by every court imaginable as income. In fact, you sent me scrambling with your lead story, Ursula. There are seven states in the United States of America that do not have an income tax. Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Wyoming, and Washington. And guess what? Those are seven of the nine states that do not have a capital gains tax. Why? Because capital gains are income. Where do you report capital gains on your federal tax return? As income. It is unconstitutional in Washington. And for the superintendent of public instruction to, oh, it's for the children, for him to propose something that is flat out, patently unconstitutional in this state is a, it's just horrible when our top politicians do stuff like this. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional. And for him to toss it out as, well, something we got to do for the kids and to protect the schools in the future. Here in the Puget Sound area, a lot of people just got a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 property tax increase. Why? To fund the schools. And then they have the audacity to toss out something that is against the state constitution and that you look at all the other states. Every state that does not have an income tax does not have a capital gains tax. And I don't know if, and I'm guessing that they're just hoping the people are, you know, that people don't listen to my show. Although this show is the place where you get the truth about stuff like this. But when they just toss that out like something we can do, no, you can't. Not without a constitutional amendment here in Washington. And I think that's just another example of a politician assuming, hoping that the people are too stupid and that people like me won't catch it and won't tell you the absolute truth of it. You cannot have a capital gains tax in this state unless we change the state constitution. Period.
Okay, I'm just going to get. I have a few more details.
Why did you do this to me?
If I literally just got the story within a minute, I didn't even have a chance to talk to you as you were racing in. But
it's pretty good. I can go for four minutes, not knowing I was going to talk about this.
Exactly. So I'm going to give you a couple more details. So the estimate apparently is that about 53,000 households would be impacted by the tax.
Doesn't
single
matter.
Filers who make more than $25,000 from capital gains annually, or couples who make over $50,000.
It's unconstitutional. Doesn't matter.
I'm just giving you the details.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, but you can't do it. You can't do it. It is against the state constitution. So, nice try. Way to try to sneak the puck past the goalie. What's his name? Chris Rakedahl.
Yes, I bet he would talk to you.
Can we get Chris Rakedahl on?
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and say sure.
Okay.
No, he's been very open about talking. I bet he would talk to you.
Okay. Well, I'll bump what we have at 12:30 if he'll come on with us, Nicole, because this infuriates me. And I'll be nice to him. I'll be nice. Tell him I'll be nice, even though I'm fired up right now. But you can't do it in Washington. And I know, like I said, it's the holy grail for Democrats in our state. They want to open the door a crack any way they can, because an income tax is the ultimate goal here in Washington. We're paying more in taxes per capita, adjusted for inflation. We're paying more in taxes than any time in the history of Washington state. And then they toss out something that's unconstitutional so that they can tax people more. It's just, it's outrageous. Okay. With that as mere prelude, let's get to what I was planning to talk about in the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
You know what? This would have been one of the days where I should have brought in the blood pressure cuff.
I know, because your face is all red now. I think you're breaking out into a sweat.
Well, you know, you don't like it when I interrupt your newscast, and I understand that. When you started telling that story, I wanted to just start busting in.
I'm trying to protect the news,
By the way, how about the restraint I'm showing out of respect to you?
Thank you.
And your wishes.
Thank you.
Yes. But, because everything else, I'm getting hand signals from Nicole. What a messy start to the show here. And what I was going to talk about in the big lead, what I am talking about now in the big lead, also has me awfully fired up. Because another story that our Hannah Scott has been reporting on, if Seattle's looking at getting huge tents for homeless people, because I guess Los Angeles is doing that, and Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, she said, yeah, we got to just get tents for everybody now.
We're tired of people thinking about it. You mentioned the word think, I think, three times. We know that there's examples from other cities, and L.A. is a great example, and I don't mean to be disparaging, Director, but we don't have time to think about it anymore, especially when we have examples of other cities that have already looked at what's going on.
Well, L.A. is a great example? We just reported yesterday they have a typhus outbreak in Los Angeles because of fleas in their homeless population down there. So, yeah, let's follow the Los Angeles model, right?
I do think that's it's imperative for us to open these large shelters so that we can create beds to the hundreds.
Okay, so yeah, they say, okay, well, if they'll go into these huge tents that we buy them, then they might get used to having shelter, and then we can move them into something else. Okay. Nothing is going to change until we do something about the drug problem. King County and Snohomish County have legalized personal possession of drugs. It is an epidemic. The police are not arresting anybody for drugs. We aren't prosecuting people for drugs. We have become the magnet destination in the United States of America because of our attitude and approach to drugs. You want another example of that? In the Federal Way Police blotter, the Federal Way Police got a call about a runaway from Louisiana. Wow, our public officials tell us that they're all our neighbors, the kids that we grew up with who just fell on hard times. No, the people who are raping women, who are attempting to rape women, who are showing up in all of these homeless encampments, they are from out of state. So many of them. Most of them. I'm sure it's over 50%, despite that phony study survey that the accused child rapist tried to peddle on us last year. Okay. Federal Way Police received a call from a female in Louisiana to report her adult son as missing. The mom said that her son is a known transient in Federal Way who is also known to abuse drugs. She stated that she had received a text last week from an unknown person who said that her son had overdosed in the woods and bushes in Federal Way and that no police or fire department were called or responded. The mom said her son regularly contacts her, but she's not heard from him in over a week. She's concerned for her son's welfare due to the recent text message. We are the magnet destination for drug addicts in the United States. And we can pop up all these spring-loaded tents that we want. But as I've said, you can spend $1 billion on housing for the homeless and get 5,000 people into shelter, but 6,000 addicts from around the country are going to come here to replace them. Because until we change our attitude and enforcement of drugs, we are not going to get any improvement. And spring-loaded tents. And then, listen to this, Fred Podesta, with the he's the city navigation team chief. He said he doesn't think the drug addicts will want to go in these tents. But listen to what he calls the drug addicts.
We've heard a little bit in talking, actually mostly folks in San Diego, about whether there was kind of a level of being compelled to accept offers of shelter, you know, in kind of an enforcement aspect, coupled with some of the bridge to housing strategies is my only point. And I don't think that's a policy choice we're going to make in Seattle.
Was the client thing in there? He calls them clients? Clients. I missed it if he said that.
There's multiple cats.
Yeah.
So
oh, with Podesta. Oh, okay. Anyway, so here's another one with Podesta.
Seeing kind of our past uptake and acceptance of offers of shelter, I think we'd need to go carefully to think about, are people going to accept an enormous 150-person dormitory that's in one big tent? And so, you know, we'd have to think about the design again, because we've seen different results with different kinds of offers. So before we get too bound up in the efficiency of a particular structure type, I think we really have to think about how our clients will react to it.
There it is. Our clients. The drug addict vagrants are the city's clients. The people who are coming from all around the country here are the clients. I mean, political speak is, it's amazing. It's amazing to listen to stuff like that, that we call the drug addicted vagrants clients. So they don't think that they will accept, the clients won't accept it. So my point is, you can spring up all the giant tents you want, but you've created this problem because of our drug policies around here. You want another example of that? Up in Bothell, the mayor and the police chief, they say they want a massive property tax levy on Bothell residents. If you have $1 million house, which is not at all unusual in Bothell, it'll cost you $440 a year extra on top of everything you're already paying. And they said that it's because they talked to Q13 News, and they said, yeah, we're struggling up here.
You have issues in Snohomish County with heroin, and you have issues with gangs and, well, heroin too. And we're kind of in the middle. And if we don't do something now, I worry about the future of the city from a public safety standpoint.
Yeah, the mayor up there said crime's getting worse and worse.
The crimes are here and they're starting to increase and they're becoming much more, you know, brutal and intense crimes.
And they need a massive property tax increase in Bothell because of the homeless problem there.
Some of these issues speak for themselves. Last year, North Shore School District reported over 200 kids were facing housing insecurity of one type or another. They're couch surfing, sleeping in a car, or they're just outright homeless.
And that's the police captain, Mike Johnson, talking to Q13. So again, let's create a problem with our drug policies. Let's attract as many heroin addicts to the region, and then let's tell the taxpayers, well, we need hundreds of millions of dollars to build dormitory-style housing for the drug addicts. Up in Bothell, you need a massive property tax increase because, and they also make a fair point, too. They said, look, our city's growing and our police force is not. But what they're citing is crime, homelessness. You create the problem as a government, and then you tax us to come up with the solution for the problem you've created. Do you want another example of that? Oh, I'm fired up today. I'm so fired up. In Seattle, Mayor Durkin is moving forward with the plan to toll all of downtown. And Uber They want people out of the cars and jumping in their ride shares. So Uber is lobbying the city of Seattle heavily to have a massive toll to drive into downtown. Now, no city in the United States of America has this. There are a couple in Europe, including London, and on average, it's about $15 to drive into downtown. So what does our government do? Well, let's create the worst traffic imaginable. Let's take away lanes of road for cars, and we'll give it to the bicyclists who don't use them. Let's take the viaduct and shrink the capacity with the most expensive option to replace it, the tunnel. That's $1 billion over budget, or will be when the final numbers are announced. So let's reduce the capacity. No downtown exits from this tunnel. Let's build something way more inefficient than what we have, the viaduct. And then, after we've taken away car lanes for bicycles and reduce the capacity of the viaduct to two-thirds of what it was with the tunnel, the most expensive replacement, then let's tell the people, oh, traffic's so bad. We need a $15 toll if you're going to drive into Seattle. And let's say you're somebody who doesn't have the option of other means of transit. $75 a week, that's almost $4,000 a year in a tax for a problem they created. So this is what we're seeing all around here. You have, we create the drug crisis, and then we say, oh, and we need $1 billion to fix it. Up in Bothell, we need a massive property tax increase. We create the traffic problem. Give us $4,000 a year, and we'll let you still drive into Seattle. Hey, but let's keep voting for the Democrats because they are doing a great job with our region. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
There's something really scary going on at the University of Washington, where a student-created website would allow anonymous sexual assault allegations. Wait till you hear this story. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, the thing that made me blow a gasket right at the beginning of the show, we just found out, it was breaking news right at 12 o'clock, that the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Rakedal, is proposing a capital gains tax. And our Hannah Scott asked him about that.
Was there a court ruling at some point that said this was an income tax to do this?
No, there's been no ruling about this at all. And so this is obviously why, almost every state has this. It's definitely not income. This is passive stuff. It's not earned by work. It's earned by the sale of a stock or a bond, quite frankly.
Wrong. It is income. I'm happy to report that Chris Rakedal is going to come on live with me at 1:30 this afternoon. And so we'll hash this out. But, okay, let's move on. I'm not going to go off on that again. There is a brand new website that has gone up, and I'm not going to give the name of it because I don't want to give it any extra publicity. But it's a University of Washington student-created website that allows people to make anonymous sexual assault allegations against students, young men, students, and non-students. The UW Daily had a story about this. It allows the users of this website to anonymously, by name, accuse people of sexual assault. And in less than a week, dozens of allegations have been made against men, both within and outside of the UW community. And as the UW Daily reported, that website could face some defamation charges if it's allowing these uncorroborated allegations against young men. And the fact that this is in the news today is ironic because I read a lengthy story today. at Reason.com, which is just flat out one of the best websites out there. The folks at Reason are great libertarians. And they told the story about a freshman at Cal Davis. And Ursula, I think you'll be interested in the story since you have two boys in college right now. And in this story, and they had to use pseudonyms for both the boy and the girl. But they were friends. They had music classes together. They had drama classes together. And one night, they were becoming better and better friends. And one night they went to the lobby of the dorm with some other friends. He was playing the guitar. She was playing the bass and the cello. And they were just making music with a few other friends. And then the guy asked her, and her pseudonym is Becky. His name is James. He asked her if he could help her carry her instruments up to her dorm room. And when they got there, both of them told almost the identical story when investigators became interested in this. And I'll explain why in just a moment. But there's no dispute. Both James and Becky say that he brought her instruments up, they sat on the bed, and they both leaned in mutually to start kissing. You know those college kids, right? And so they're just kind of making out on the bed, and it involved some touching, some petting. And they both admit that, and they both say it was mutual. And along with touching her, over and under her shirt, James also gave her a couple of hickeys. And she agreed that she was enjoying the whole thing. A few days later, James gets a notice from the Title IX office at Cal Davis. And it said that Becky was now claiming that he went too far with her. They didn't have sex, but they had talked about it before that. That was the first time that they had gotten together in any way to kiss or anything. And they had talked about it. Then after that, they said, well, what if we stay friends with benefits? And they even talked exactly about the parameters. They said, okay, we're not going to, have actual sex, but this is what we'll do. And they both agreed when they talked to investigators about that. So a few days later, she said, we got to talk. He goes, what's up? She was on FaceTime with her mom, and her mom saw her hickeys. And she felt shamed by those hickeys. And so she went to the Title IX office, and she said that he went too far, that even though she had agreed to, and this according to her complaint, she said it was a night of mutual flirting. It started out romantic. She agreed that she asked James to close the door, or she closed it herself, she said. They continued kissing and touching. Both of them gave almost identical accounts to the Title IX office. And then they contacted James, and they said that she recontextualized what had happened. And they had text messages between James and Becky. She said that, hey, let's talk. They got together. They talked. She said, hey, that's when they worked out the friends with benefits things. And they both said, okay, yeah, they'll be fine. But then after she got shamed by her mom, who saw her hickeys, she said that she'd recontextualized the encounter. And this kid's life was turned upside down. James's family had to spend $12,000 on lawyers. He thought his life was ruined. He thought he was going to have to register as a sex offender. But over the course of the investigation, her account of what happened and his account were virtually identical. There's no dispute as to that it was mutual And then she said weeks later, well, you should have explicitly, verbally asked if you could touch me, even though she had helped take his shirt off. They both agreed to that. That he, his shirt came off and she dropped it on the floor. But she said, you should have explicitly, verbally asked me for permission before you touched me. This kid was just exonerated at Cal Davis after $12,000 in legal fees, after a year of going without sleep, because he said, I met a girl. We were friends first. We both decided that we wanted to just make out. And this kid, he was sure that his life was going to be over. And as they said at Reason.com, I mean, they exhaustively reported this story. And they said, there's little doubt that the Me Too movement has accomplished much good, or that sexual misconduct is a serious problem in Hollywood, in politics, in the media, in the workplace, and on college campuses. But they also said that there are so many, you know, the Me Too movement is boldly waded into gray areas. And encounters that were just normal and natural for, you know, you and me when we were in high school, college, now it can destroy someone's life. So remember this Cal Davis story when you hear about what's going on at the University of Washington. A student-created website that allows for anonymous sexual assault allegations.
What is the point of this? What is the point of that website?
Just to allow girls to accuse boys.
Well, I hope if that someone does go after him legally. The thing that kind of infuriates me about these stories is that the reality is it's still between 2 to 8 or 10% of false accusations. But now, because, you know, after the Me Too movement, now people are trying to pull up all these, you know, as if this happens all the time. I mean, these are still rare instances when relatively rare instances, you know, and you said as the mother of two boys, I have two boys in college right now. And in fact, my youngest son just told me he's starting to see somebody. And I had to tell him, I said, you know what, I hope you don't use alcohol, but if you do, I mean, I basically taught him, you've got to just be a decent person and know who this person is that you're with.
But you don't.
And trust them.
Yeah. But I mean, do you think he needs to explicitly ask her? Verbally,
no, but I
as
think
this girl I, said at I, Cal Davis?
I think this story is still relatively rare. And I get it that people are worried and, you know, are our sons going to be targets now? Again, as the mother of two sons, I still think it's relatively rare.
Well, and as the father of three daughters, I there's plenty of data that rape culture on campuses is...
It's huge. You think it's overblown?
It's greatly exaggerated. It's greatly exaggerated. It's real. It happens.
How funny that you're the daughter.
You're the father
of three girls and you think it's exaggerated.
But there's lots of data that it's greatly exaggerated.
Well, I think it's obscured by the fact there's a lot of alcohol and other drugs that...
Well, what happened to this kid at Cal Davis is it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
Agree.
And an anonymous UW website is
that's equally horrifying.
Okay, we got lots more to do here as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, I'd like to hear your thoughts on everything we've been talking about. It's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. This is the music of Taylor Swift, who, as you no doubt know, she never talked about politics until a few days ago. But then she went on Instagram and endorsed the Democratic Senate candidate in Tennessee. She said events in her life and in the world over the past 2 years caused her to feel very differently. And everyone's been dismissing it. Well, 13-year-olds can't vote. But she's got a pretty broad audience. And supposedly tens of thousands of people registered to vote after Taylor Swift made those comments. She's trying to take down the woman running for Senate in Tennessee. Marsha Blackburn. That was it. So yesterday, Donald Trump, he was asked about Taylor Swift and her comments. And here's what the Prez had to say about it.
Taylor Swift jumping into politics. What do you have to say to her?
And what did she say?
She said she wants people to vote for Democrats.
And not Marsha Blackburn.
Especially.
You know, well, Marsha Blackburn is doing a very good job in Tennessee. She's leading now substantially, which she should. She's a tremendous woman. I'm sure Taylor Swift has nothing or doesn't know anything about her. And let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
So Marsha Blackburn was trailing in most of the polls there, and I don't want to get into other state Senate races. Oh, by the way, though, you know what I did at...
What you made me do. Sorry, I just wanted you to play some more current Taylor Swift.
Was the last one really old?
That was old. Yeah, she's more. This is more her style now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can keep this going. So, I couldn't sleep last night. I know that's unusual for me.
I couldn't either. I was up all night.
Yeah, I was too. I had a horrible night last night.
Pre-travel anxiety, I think.
So 5 a.m., I came. This is embarrassing to admit. But on C-SPAN, they had a replay of the Susan Hutchison, Maria Cantwell debate that was yesterday. And I didn't have time to watch it because it was going on during our show yesterday. Man, Maria Cantwell was unintelligible in some of her answers. But the thing was, Susan Hutchison, there was such a... Did you ever see the split screen?
Yeah.
Because we had it on in the studio. Yeah. We just couldn't watch...
Our friend Randy did awesome.
Susan Hutchison was well lit, and she had a smile the entire debate. And Maria Cantwell, she had this huge frown the entire time. It was the most stark physical contrast. But then, you know, their answers to some of the questions. I wish I'd had time to pull the audio. But that
well, we
would
have some, but sorry, I didn't know you wanted that.
Well, I didn't. I didn't know I was going to talk about it at all. But, I mean, Cantwell is almost a lock because she's a Democrat in Washington. But based on the answers, seriously, I try to be as objective as possible. And ideologically, I'm just, you know, not lined up with Maria Cantwell. But some of her, just her speech patterns were almost unintelligible. It was very odd to watch. So anyway, Taylor Swift, we'll see. Oh, so I'm saying, Marsha Blackburn, she was trailing in the polls in Tennessee. And then, in the last couple of polls, she's been up like 8 points because there seems to be this backlash against the Democrat rage all around the country, all the hate that's being exhibited. And so Blackburn has taken the lead in the last couple of polls. Now maybe Taylor Swift will turn it back in the other direction. I don't know. I don't know nothing about Tennessee Senate races, for crying out loud. We have our Fastest 15 coming up next. And then a story that made me blow my top at the beginning of the show. The superintendent of schools in our state is calling for a capital gains tax. It's unconstitutional. He's going to join us live at 1:30, all in the next hour on the Dory Monson Show.